Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, in a study he's entitled, Doing God's Work, God's Way. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now, one of the things that I've seen as a pastor, and since 1985, you know, I watch things. I watch people's lives. And I've just seen this as a pattern, and we've tried to put a stop to it as much as we possibly can. But I want to just kind of give you some kind of a warning and some kind of an insight on something that I've seen over the years. I've seen people come in here like gangbusters. They're ready to serve the Lord. They're ready to do anything for the Lord. And those are typically the people that are here when the church doors are open. They come regularly on Sunday. They're here on a Wednesday night, and they're in the study of the Bible. They come to our communion service, or we do other things. They're around the fellowship, and they're saying, oh, what could I do? What could I do? What could I do? And there's an excitement and a joy that's thrilling to see in someone's life. But I've seen many people with that spirit mindset, after they're here a while, they get involved in ministry. Now all of a sudden, well, you know, I can't come to Wednesday night or can't come to the communion potluck, and their church attendance being here isn't quite as important to them as it was before for one reason or another. And then it could deteriorate to the point, and this is where you're in the danger zone, where the only time you're here at church is when you're serving. And that is a dangerous place to be. And we don't want that to happen. Now, we can't control people's lives. I don't watch everybody. But when I see that start happening, I start seeing that ministry and that person dry up. And they're doing the routine. They're doing the ministry. But something's lacking in the heart of that person. And the next thing, you know, that's when they dry up and shrivel. You need to be close to the Lord. You have to be close to the Lord. You have to have a heart of worship. You have to have a worshipful life, because that's when God's going to infuse new life and strength. That's an aspect, one of the areas. And what used to happen, and we've tried to put a stop to this as well, I don't know, for some strange reason, people used to like to line up in the back of the wall there, the church, when we were at the school over there. And usually these were the people, I don't know what got into their mind. We didn't ask him to stand up back there. Of course, the ushers need to be standing and be in the spots where they need to be. But all of a sudden, they're no longer part of the congregation. I mean, who elevated them to this position of 24 elders in the back there standing up? And if they are, the 24 elders in the book of Revelation are falling on their faces worshiping God. That's where they need to be. But all of a sudden, they kind of view as church, well, see, I don't really need to go to church any longer now that I'm involved in ministry, and I don't need to worship like I used to. Those are the targets the devil wipes out, and they just dry up. Don't let that happen to you. You never rise above worship. You never rise above your need for the church and for fellowship and for the study of God's word. Just as a policy, anyone that's on staff here, they have to be at church in one of the services where they're just sitting there, listening to the study, worshiping. I don't want to lose my staff as they dry up because they're just working. They need the word of God. They need worship. They need God speaking into their hearts. And if you're trying to serve the Lord apart from that, there's a great lack within your life. I think just trying to be a Christian without that is an impossibility. Adding to now you want to be involved in ministry, you're just going to get wiped out. I've seen it over and over, and don't get caught in that trap. Realize that worship is an essential part, it's a mandatory part of your work for the Lord. Let me read something to you from Tozer, who wrote a book that we recommended a while back and people read through. It's called Whatever Happened to Worship. And he's going to talk about the relationship between ministry or work for the Lord and worship. And I think he nails it like he often does. He says, I mean it when I say that I'd rather worship God than do anything else. You may reply, if you worship God, you do nothing else. But that only reveals that you have not done your homework. The beautiful part of worship is that it prepares you and enables you to zero in on the important things that must be done for God. Listen to me. Practically every good deed done in the Church of Christ, all the way back to the Apostle Paul, was done by the people blazing with the radiant worship of their God. A survey of church history will prove that it was those who were the yearning worshipers who also became the great workers. Those great saints whose hymns we so tenderly sing were active in their faith to the point that we must wonder how they ever did it at all. Out of a life of worship will flow passionate work. No worship, your work will dry up. It'll be done in your own energy, done in your own strength. And I think God's setting the stage here for Joshua right before. He says, before you do battle with me, before you battle on my behalf, you must first be a worshiper. You will not survive if you're not a worshiper. With the rest of the time that we have, I want to look through three or four passages of Scripture, looking at people that were in worship and the lessons that God taught them that we could apply for ministry as well. So for the next 3 or 4 hours that we have left, we'll look at these passages. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is that familiar story where Jehoshaphat sent the worshipers out in front when he was to go and do battle. There's a great lesson here for us to learn. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, for me, I just love to worship. I thoroughly enjoy worshiping the Lord. Sometimes it's a matter of God convicting my heart. Sometimes I just want to tell the Lord I love. I want to tell him thank you for what he has done. The Lord is so good. He meets us in his mercy and his forgiveness. Like one of the songs that we sang today is "The Father to the Fatherless." And at this service, I was holding Dylan, who we adopted. I'm thinking, I've become the father to the fatherless, just as God has been the fatherless. Just such meaning and mercy in my heart, of God's mercy towards my life, and then how that extends out to others. And it just brings me back to the nature and spirit of Christ, of his nature, and wanting to minister to people in that capacity, in that spirit. I don't find that in my own hearts. I find it in the Lord. And if you're going to minister, God needs to pour something in that could come out. And we'll see that in some of these chapters. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, look at about verse 15. It says here, "And he said, listen, all of you of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, and Pastor Brian, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and all those from Calvary, La Mirada, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So they're going out to battle, and what's the preparation? Worship. And that's where we learn the battle belongs to the Lord. That's one of the places God would remind us as we're facing the enemy, the obstacles, the things that are difficult, overwhelming, and we're all stressed out about as we come to worship. God says, knock it off. You don't have to fight. This is my battle. I'm with you. I'm going to take care of it. And if you're in ministry, you need to be reminded of that over and over and over again. And you're probably like me, and this is the way I typically deal with problems. I know that the Bible says to trust the Lord, so I'm going to try and do that. And so what I do is I take my problem and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to put them on your altar. Do with it whatever you want. Your will be done. And I kind of walk away from them. And then a little time goes by, and it's like the Lord's not doing what I secretly wanted him to do. So I kind of sneak back and kind of bring that problem back. Oh, maybe I should do it this way. And I try and figure that, oh, no, I'm not supposed to trust myself. I give it back to the Lord, and I say, okay, Lord, you take care of it. And then I come back and inspect it. Any of you do that? You're as bad as me then. I need to be reminded that problem is the Lord's problem. He's with me. He said he'd take care of it. He doesn't want me to pick it up and inspect it and, you know, trying to work it out myself and the lack of faith. I need to be reminded over and over and over again, the battle's not yours, it's God. This is not Brian's church, this is the Lord's church. Anything that comes against the church, it's the Lord's business to fight on our behalf. Now, he may tell you what to do. He may tell you, just don't even worry about it, I'm going to take care of it. Or he may say, here's how I want you to handle it. But either way, it's his battle. And if you're in ministry, you need to be reminded of this over and over and over again. It's the Lord's battle, or you're going to go out and fight like Peter did and cut people's heads off and cut their ear off. And then the Lord's going to have to come back behind you and heal up their life and just in the flesh. Now you're taking it on. And that's not the nature of Christ. Was it the nature of Christ to swing the sword when Peter did? He was not in the Spirit. He was battling on behalf of Christ, and Christ didn't want him to battle. The Lord was going to take care of it. The Lord had it all under control. And that's so often how we react if we aren't reminded the battle belongs to the Lord. And God is having these guys worship to get that in their heart and mind. As preparation for war, they were worshiping. As preparation for your ministry, your battle, the conflict, there needs to be that heart of worship. That's where God refocuses our heart, that the battle belongs to him. And then what the instruction was, is he said, put the singers up in front. And they went out, the singers were in front. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of those singers, I'd be thinking, what did I do to this king? You know, I'm going to be an arrow catcher. They're going to kill us instantly. You don't put the singers in front. And I mean, if you think about it, think of the enemy. I mean, here they're ready to fight. They sent the choir to fight us. I mean, you don't typically think of a choir as big, strong, macho warriors to fight. But God didn't need their strength, did he? And this is the awesome thing about it. Look at verse 21 and the beginning of 22. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon and Moab. As they began to worship, God fought on their behalf. A lot of things that happen in ministry, the bottom line is it's spiritual warfare. And Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, don't fight with carnal means, because the weapons that we have are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.